Now, last week we studied about Joshua, and before that we studied about Hannah. We are going to pick up after Hannah. Hannah prayed and asked God to give her a son. God gave her a son. She gave her son back to the Lord, and then God gave her 3 more sons and 2 daughters. And now the son's name everyone knows, Samuel. So the Samuel was kept in the Eli's place. Eli was the priest there, but Eli did not take care of his children. And so Eli started to tell them, what you're doing is not good. But it was too difficult for them to change because they were already old. So one prophet came and told Eli, his sons will be destroyed and God is going to find somebody. And then one day, God called Samuel. Eli died. And so he died. 1 Samuel chapter 7, starting from verse 3.
And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines.
Now here, the Philistine took the Ark of the Covenant, and wherever they took the Ark, whatever the city, they kept the Ark. They have their guard, Dagon guard, and they put in Dagon guard's temple. So what happened? They kept it, and morning they came, Dagon guard fell on his face. So they thought maybe it's an accident. They put it back there, and next day they came. Now the Dagon guard and his all the hands and feet, everything was broken to pieces. So they got scared. Not only that, most of the people got tumor and plague, and people start dying. So they moved the Ark of the Covenant to different cities to see what happens. Each city they put this Ark of the Covenant, each places, plague, tumor, people dying. So finally they said to the children of Israel, what should we do? They said, we want your Ark to be taken back. So they said, okay, what you should do, according to your elders' number, make the whatever the tumor size was, make the gold tumors and put it in the box. Same way the mouse, because the plague comes through the mice. So it's a mouse, make the figure of mouse and make out of gold and put in the box. And then take 2 cows who are giving their birth to the calf and put this ark on the covenant and those golden box and everything and let it go. And so they did that, and cows start running and making noise for the babies. And they came to the certain place, and there was a big rock, big stone. They stood there. Then the priest came, took the Ark of the Covenant, and broke the cart, sacrificed those 2 cows, and kept the Ark of the Covenant there. And the Word of God says the Ark of the Covenant stayed there at least 20 years. And then all these Israeli people gathered there to just have good time because the Ark of the Covenant came there. And that's the time Philistine people saw all the children of Israel gathered together. So now let's go and fight with them again. And that's the time they said to Samuel, why don't you cry to God? Or why don't you pray to God and God will save us what we should be doing. Let's read further.
And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him.
So now here, when they cry to God, crying to God means pray to God. He prayed, and God answered Samuel's prayer. Okay, go ahead.
And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpeh and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued. And they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coasts thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites.
So this is the way God defeated the Philistines. And the time of Samuel, there was a peace. And everything was calm. But this Israeli people, they start saying, we want a king. So they start asking Samuel, we want a king. Go to the chapter 8, start reading from 1 to 3.
And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgments.
Now see here, Samuel was a good man, good prophet, good judge, but when he was busy, he was doing a great job, but he didn't have time for his children. So his children were not doing right the same way like Eli's children. Go back to the 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 22 to 25.
Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
So now here we see Eli's children didn't go according to the word of God. Samuel's children were not doing according to the word of God. And now Samuel is old, and so he cannot do more job. So the people start asking, we need a king. Let's go back to the 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now read up to 6.
Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord.
When they asked the king, Samuel felt bad. He thought, maybe they're rejecting me. Samuel was a little bit heartbroken. Let's read verse 21.
And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord.
When people didn't want Samuel's children to ruling them, they asked him, we need a king. And then he's coming to God and say, Lord, what should I do? Okay. Verse 22.
And the Lord said to Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go ye every man unto his city.
Here God told Samuel, they want a king, give them the king. But before Samuel gave them the king, Samuel told them what the king will do. He told them the king will ask taxes. King will draft your children for war, and everything he said. But they said, no matter what, we want a king. Okay, so here, God says, okay. And so, it's a long story. God found a man, his name was Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Israeli people asked the God, give king. God told Samuel, they did not reject you, they reject me. I'm going to give them a king. And so he gave the king, but this king was not doing everything according to the will of God. Okay, let's read verse 23. 1 Samuel 12, verse 23.
Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. but I will teach you the good and the right way.
So now he is telling the children of Israel, I'll be praying for you, and if I don't pray for you, it will be sin for me. 1 Samuel chapter 13, start reading from verse 8.
And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly, thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee.
Okay, now somebody will say, what was the fault of King Saul? Samuel told him, go and wait, I'll be coming, we'll do sacrifice after 7 days. Saul goes there, waited for Samuel. Samuel didn't come. Samuel was maybe a few minutes late. So what he did, he said, bring the sacrifice, I'll do the sacrifice, otherwise we will not have victory over these enemies. So he thought he was doing good. But they should know, in the olden days, priest has to do priest job, king has to do king's job. They cannot do the priest job or prophet's job. King has his job. So the king going out of his way to doing the priest job. And so if you would ask God, God, what should I do? What happened to Samuel? He's an old man. I don't know. He died, got a heart attack. What's the problem? Or call some another prophet or another priest. But he went ahead and did the sacrifice. And that was wrong according to the will of God. That's why some people do today also in the church. And they want to do the pastor's job. If the pastor is not there or something like that, they will say, oh, I can do it. If they are not ordained to do the job and they start doing the job, it is wrong according to the will of God. They have to be ordained to do certain job. So here he said, God already found a man. Now your kingdom is going to taken and give it to somebody else. Now that's the one time. Now, let's go to the 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is another mistake. I start reading from verse 10.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night.
Now here, Samuel didn't know what happened here. God told Samuel to give the command to king, when you're going for a battle, what you do, kill all the animals, kill all the sheep, kill everybody, don't keep anybody alive. And that's what the command. He said, okay, I'll do it. And now, he didn't do accordingly. And so God tells Samuel, you know what? First of all, he did the wrong sacrifice. You already told him your kingdom is gone. Now, this is the time, because this man did not obey me. So the Samuel goes to find out what happened. Let's keep on reading.
And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord.
Now here, see, he's lying. He's saying to Samuel, you know what? Whatever the Lord told me, I did everything according to the commandment of God. He's trying to say, I did exactly what the Lord told me to do. Let's read further.
And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?
The sheep, they said, So he said, what a better sound is coming. And the cow, hmm. So he said, what this cow's sound and the sheep sound is coming to me. What is it? And so let's see what the Saul's example or answer for that.
And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, but the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed.
God did not tell them to keep the healthy animal for sacrifice and kill everything. He said, destroy everything. But he didn't do it. And he's saying, why I kept this? I kept this for sacrifice. God wants obedience, not the sacrifice. You're going to read it a little bit further. Now somebody's in, you know, they go and steal some money and give it to the poor. They're thinking they are going good job. That's not God wants. Or steal somebody's money to give it to the Lord. Say, I'm giving to the Lord. God doesn't want that. God wants pure heart, and God wants right thing to do, not wrong thing. He is doing wrong. He is disobeying God, and he's saying, I did exactly what God said. Okay, let's read further.
Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites.
See, here again, he had a chance to confess and said, I'm sorry I didn't do it. He said, I did everything. I killed everybody. But what did he do? He kept the king alive. Killed the king first and then all the other people. He kept the king and killed other people, he said. But we don't want to go through everything what Samuel did. Samuel was so angry. Samuel killed that king himself because he wanted to destroy the enemy, but Saul was not able to do it.
But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal.
And now he's saying, now here is another mistake he's making. He said, people took some spoil, but we kept the good, healthy animal for sacrifice to whom? Unto the Lord thy God. He's saying, we want to sacrifice for your God. Why are you mad at me? So that means, he already denied God in his spirit. You understand? Instead of saying our God, he's saying your God. God gave chances. This was his second chance, but he didn't understand. Now he is telling Samuel, that is your God, and I was going to do a favor to you, doing some sacrifice to your God, and so why are you fighting with me? Read a little bit further. Verse 22.
And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.
So he's saying what God wants. God wants your heart, your obedience, not the sacrifice. God knows your heart. You can deceive other people. You cannot deceive God. So he was trying to deceive Samuel. God already came to know. God said, Samuel, I'm sorry I made this man king. So now you have to anoint somebody else. Samuel was angry at Saul, and Samuel wanted to leave. We don't have time to read everything. So what did Saul did? He got hold of his robe and pulled it so angrily, and his robe got torn. So Samuel said, you know what? Your kingdom is taken away, like you tore my clothes, so your kingdom is already went from you. Samuel said he left from that place, and he never saw Saul until he died. Means, until Samuel's death, he never saw Saul king again. Died, and now Philistine coming to fight with the king. We never see Saul praying for his nation or praying for himself or asking God's guidance in his ministry. And when Samuel died, he went to priest and says, Philistines are coming. Could you give me some answer? What should I do? God did not give him answer. Let's read the words, 1 Samuel chapter 28, starting from verse 6.
And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets.
See, when God already denied him as a king, he was still was a king and he ruled as a king for many, many years. But God left him. He was doing his kingdom or his service without God's hand. And that's what the some of the ministries are going on. Even though God is not in the ministry, God is not in the church, God is not ruling, and God is not doing anything, but the people still do the Lord's work. So here's the example of Saul. He goes to God asking some maybe priest, but now there was no answer. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, means the word of God, even his prayer shall be abomination. There is another scripture in Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2. It says, God's ear is not deaf, his hand is not short. Why God is not hearing the prayer?
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
This is what happens. Some Christian people, they say, I prayed and prayed and nothing happened. What is the problem? The word of God is saying, if we do not walk according to the will of God, God will not hear our prayer. And some people do not read the Bible, do not pray, do not go to church, do not give their tithes and offerings. And when the time of trouble is at, please pray for me. Or they cry to God and they say, I cried, I fasted, I prayed. God said, what kind of fasting? He doesn't need your fasting. He doesn't need your prayer. He wants your pure heart. That's what we learn in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice. So he says, if you are not obeying God, God is not going to listen to you. Let's go back to the 1 Samuel chapter 28.
Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor.
Now here, Saul knew that if anyone soothsayer or using the evil spirit to tell people the fortune telling and things like that, that is against the word of God. So God told them, you have to destroy all these people who are doing this kind of job. So they killed so many people like that. And so people were afraid of Saul. He goes now to the soothsayer. Now, if you go to God and God is not answering your prayer, then what you supposed to do? You're supposed to repent, right? And say, Lord, why are you not answering my prayer? What's wrong with me? I'm going to turn to you and I'm going to ask you to forgive my sins. God will forgive. And not asking forgiveness, and you go somewhere else for answer. And if he did something wrong to that person, he should ask forgiveness to that person. Go to the Matthew chapter 5 and start reading from verse 22. Here he says, if you go come to the altar, and if you know something wrong with your brother, keep the offering there. Go back and ask them forgiveness with your husband, with your wife, with your church, with your children, with your boss, with anybody. But you do. Ask forgiveness and put it right. Okay, go ahead. Starting from 22.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire.
See, simple thing. If you're angry at your brother, If you say you are a fool, or if you say something bad to your brother, it's a very great sin in the sight of God. Okay, go ahead.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
This is what God wants. God doesn't want you to keep your bitterness in your heart, fight with somebody, and try to say, I'm not wrong, somebody's wrong. And so if you start doing that, you will be not serving the Lord. God will not answer your prayer. If somebody backslidden or not listening, he said, I give them in the hand of the devil. And sometime they might repent and come back. So now Saul did not have any blessing from God. Samuel was not there. And so now he is going to the devil to ask the opinion. Now, we don't have time to read all of these things. So now what happened here when he goes to the devil to ask? Devil already knows how the Samuel looked like. The word of God said the devil takes the form of angel of light. And so the devil took the form of the angel of light and said exactly what Samuel could say. Samuel even said, why you disturb my rest and everything. But the point only I'm telling you how it is everything wrong, because that Samuel who came in like a Samuel, he said, tomorrow you will be with me. Samuel is in heaven, right? Saul went to hell. How can be Saul going to Samuel? So that fake person was talking like a Samuel and taking the form of Samuel. That person said, you come with me. So when Saul died, he went to hell. He did not go to heaven. From that we know that is not from the Lord. So sometime the devil will take the form of angel to deceive mankind. So the word of God says we should know the devil's tactic. And so if we are the children of God, and if something we do wrong, and God doesn't listen to our prayer, then what we have to do? Correct ourselves, not to turn away. But the devil, something clicks in their mind and says, now your God is not real God. If this God allows these children to die, that is not a God. That's why so many people tell you why the hurricane came, why this problem came, where is your God? What St. John chapter 10 verse 10 says? The enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. And so if somebody starts telling you, okay, Samuel, real Samuel came and God allowed Samuel, then the question comes like this. Then when you have a problem, do you go to soothsayer so God can talk to you from the soothsayer? No. God will never talk to you from the Satan. So when you need a God, you go on your knees, repent, and ask God forgiveness. Our God is a good God. He always wants to forgive. Jesus said to Peter, how many times you forgive? 70 times 7. If he said to Peter, forgive 70 times 7, do you think the same God will not do that? He will. So as long as we are alive, we have time to repent. But some people do not want to repent, and they just be rebellious. And that's why the King Saul lost his blessing. You remember what Samuel said to him? Saul, you are a poor man. You are looking for donkeys. God gave you the kingdom. Why don't you listen to God? Why don't you obey God? And we see about Saul, he never repented. He repented falsely. Please forgive me, Samuel. You know, give me some kind of a blessing. But he already took God out of his life. He says, I was doing sacrifice for your God. Not my God, your God. And that's what the problem is. So the point I'm making, here we saw, God heard Samuel's prayer, but God did not hear Saul's prayer. So what we're learning, our God is a prayer answering God, but God will not listen to your prayer if you are not in the will of God, if you are not doing according to the will of God, God will not answer our prayer. James chapter 5, and start reading maybe from 15 or 16.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
See, here is saying, when you go to pray for somebody, now the person can be a believer, a person can be a pastor, or whoever is sick person, and another man of God going to pray for him. So now here is a checkpoint. He said the person who is sick, that person has to confess his sins. And the person who is going to pray, he has to ask God, Lord, if there is anything wrong. Here the word of God is saying, the person who is praying, he has to see if he committed some sin. And the person who is getting prayed for, that person has to ask forgiveness. And then he says, the righteous man's prayer is more effective. That means, if you are a child of God, somebody says, I'm not righteous. Yes, each and every person is righteous. How we became righteous? Because Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. And when you trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, God made you righteous through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So when you go to pray for somebody, you have to believe that I'm a righteous person and God is going to hear my prayer. I was going to pray for one person. And I'm going, that person is almost dying. Somebody is driving me and I'm sitting beside him. He said, Pastor Peter, I see the dark cloud. What he was trying to tell me, we are going to pray for the man. Man is not going to be alive. He's going to die. I said, sir, you see the dark cloud? I don't. And if you're seeing the dark cloud, don't discourage me. I'm going there to pray, and that man is going to get out of the hospital and he will come to church. He's not going to die. And he didn't like it. But I went there and prayed for that man, and the man came to church and he's still alive. That person who told me the dark cloud, he came to me and said, you know, I didn't have the faith. I really thought he's going to die. When you are a child of God, you don't talk negative. I don't want to hear anything negative. Once you go and pray, your job is done. You leave it in the hand of God. So that's what the word of God is saying. We have to have faith in God. Our God is a healer. We are not healers. We are doing by faith. And so we should have that kind of faith. Otherwise, our prayer will not be answered. I do not pray negative prayer. And I don't want anybody talking negative. The point I'm making, our God is a prayer answering God. God heard Samuel's prayer. God did not hear Saul's prayer. Even though he was a king, God doesn't go according to who is a big and who is small. God looks at your heart. And that's the way God listens to our prayer. Our God is a prayer answering God. No matter what our problems are, what we have to do, give it to the Lord. And say, Lord, please help me. And he will help. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.